You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right. I know a lot of you might not like this, but I don't care. I think this is a perfect song. 10 at about 3:25, I'm supposed to talk to Devin Snow. I got a bunch of calls and texts I want to get to. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to try and get to you as fast as I can. Here's a text that says, what is more egregious, interrupting the peaceful transfer of power or a nonviolent usurpation of power? I would feel much more comfortable if Democrats would not be howling to pack the Supreme Court or blow up the filibuster. What are they trying to do in Mexico? And they did in Venezuela. That's right. The court. A couple points here. What's more egregious, interrupting the peaceful transfer of power or the nonviolent usurpation of power? I guess I would go with the latter. That sounds more egregious in this moment. But of course, that's not really what happened. We're not calling President Biden, hearing the country say to him, you're too old to do this, we don't want you to run, and then him deciding not to run. That's not a usurpation of power. 70% of Americans did not want another Trump-Biden matchup, and we got what we wanted. They heard us. They, I mean, like Joe Biden, our elected representatives heard us and reacted accordingly. So that's not a nonviolent usurpation of power. As far as packing the Supreme Court or blowing up the filibuster, an argument could be made that the Supreme Court is already packed and the Republicans already killed the filibuster so that they could do it. So food for thought. Here's a text from Sal that says, hey, I wonder why parents are so reluctant to tell their kids that they can't afford certain activities. They would rather go into debt and blame the government for their lack of a spine. How are kids to learn how the real world works if parents don't level with them? Yeah, that's an interesting point. I'm not a parent myself, so I can only kind of take an informed guess at how I would tell my kids, like, hey, we're not going to Disneyland this year, or we're not going to be able to buy that new car, or you can't have a pony. I think it's just generally a good rule of thumb just to be honest with your kids. That's going to turn them into honest people. James on the North Shore is listening today, and he says, hey, the money that we'll get from that tax plan will help everyone, everybody. Everyone's life will feel better when you help out the least of us by bringing them up out of their poverty. That helps everybody. It lessens the amount of hurt in the world, and that is good for everybody. Not much to disagree with there for my part. Here's a text that says, hey, Ian, please remind everyone that thinks that they were doing better under Trump. It was because Trump inherited Obama's policies, then tore down everything that he could. And now Biden has been spending the last 3 years fixing Trump's policies. So under Kamala, better times are coming. We can hope so. You know, it would have been so interesting to see what would have happened if it weren't for the pandemic. We probably would have had a second Trump term. Maybe the economy would still be roaring. There probably wouldn't be the inflation. Bacon wouldn't be $90 a pound or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. But there are these X factors. There's pandemics and there's wars and there's natural disasters and things happen. And presidents, you know, they can try and be as proactive as they can in telling you what the economy is going to be like if they get elected. But a not insignificant chunk of that is totally out of their control, or anyone else's for that matter. Rick at the beach is listening today and says about Kamala Harris and how to pronounce that. Let's call them Mr. Trump and Mrs. Harris. Everybody knows they're honorifics. This is not a material pertinent issue. Throwing mud isn't arguing, but politics has always had mudslinging, and it's not a game for the thin-skinned. Just ignore the people who intentionally or otherwise mispronounce names. Isn't reaction what these insufficient souls crave? I would respect someone who ignored Trump and wouldn't play his childish games. Our choices in statesmanship have been lousy this century. Thank you, Rick. Here's a text that says, let the caller know that Biden mispronounces Kamala's name all the time. Also, on a side note, during Bill Clinton's speech last week at the DNC, he pronounced it incorrectly pretty much every time. There's way more important things to get worked up about than this woman's name. Thank you so much for those. Send me some more texts. I'll have time to read them after I talk to Devin. I need to take in some phone calls right here. Let's start out with Howard in Texas. Good afternoon, Howard.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. I was blessed the fact that I worked for a major oil company, Shell Oil Company. When I was retired, I was blessed with one heck of an insurance plan in pension. And right now, that insurance plan is paying for a very expensive back surgery. Now, a lot of folks have retired from oil companies and associated oil companies, and my company drilled in the Gulf and fracked. Now, here's Kamala Harris saying that he's going to come up with a national health plan that will wipe out a plan that I left my employer with, very blessed with that plan, and I will be on a national health plan. Now, I'm not acting cocky, but she wants to take away people's health plans that they when he retired from major companies, and she's being critical of companies that supported a lot of jobs in the city in New Orleans, Houston, Gulf Coast area, all in gas jobs. Now, that's my point. I don't want my, I would care if not losing my health plan that Shell has given me, because she wants everybody to be the same. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If everybody be the same, I've got a 210 Ranger pickup truck. Anybody's driving around an $80,000 Ram truck should be driving my 210 pickup truck, right?
Yeah. Howard, so let me go back. Am I understanding correctly that you're saying Kamala Harris wants to get rid of private health insurance for people who have already retired? Is that right?
Well, you should say private health insurance. That's what I'm under right now, that my company provided me for. Excellent health insurance that I'm just completing a major operation. Thank God it didn't cost me anything. The company provided that for me.
Why do you think that that's going to be taken away from you?
Well, she says national health, all health plans will be taken away, and we're going on a national health plan.
I don't think that's it, Howard. I don't know that's not a thing, man. I don't think anybody's proposing a national health plan where you're going to lose your private employer health insurance. That's not a thing.
Well, how do you know she's talking about going to a national health plan?
I haven't heard that she is. That's kind of an insane idea. Like, we've already had that conversation as a country and decided that we weren't going to do that. That was the single payer option that was killed, you know, in Congress by Democrats during the Obama era. So we're not having a national health plan where we're going to kick you off your private health insurance. That's just not going to happen.
One thing I want to mention about when you see Kamala Harris in the vice president, these people look like they own a orgasm all the time.
Howard, go on.
Okay, they're acting like they just... Now, one thing that I felt good yesterday was the laying of the wreath.
At Arlington.
That laying of the wreath made me feel really good. But, still, I just think we headed... My feeling is the Marxism, communism, socialism. Everybody's going to be the same. So if everybody's going to be the same, drive my 2010 pickup truck, get the $80,000 Ram truck, okay? Yeah.
I wouldn't lose sleep over it, Howard. I got to move on, but nice speaking with you. I don't think that we're going to move towards communism or Marxism. These terms get used interchangeably all the time. Most people can't really, you know, in an elevator pitch, tells you what either of those things mean as far as America in the year of our Lord 2024. But those talking points are out there. Let's tuck in Patrick. Patrick, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind, bud?
Look, as a Christian, I don't call all that often. But as a Christian, I don't understand how somebody else who says that they believe in Christ or that they believe in any type of higher power and goodness can vote for Donald Trump with a good conscience. I mean, everyone who's ever had anything to do with a man is going down. Anyone who's ever come close to him has, you know, think of Rudy Giuliani, think of all the crap and the chaos that we went through 4 years ago. Look, and people are talking about the economy. You know, the prices have been increased. But we lived through COVID.
Yeah.
half of the country was unemployed. Half of the country was on Medicaid. So where do you think the money came from? It fell out of coconut tree. And as far as pricing, you need to start. We need to start looking at the corporations and in small markets like Rouse's, who inflated the prices when they were making all the money on the EBT and other government subsidies that were given to them. So, you know, I and others aren't socialists. They just want to make it a little even.
Yeah.
And if anyone has a question about when the economy does the best, go back since 1980 and look at a graph chart and look how we did during Reagan, how we did during Clinton, and see who had the better economy. This is insane. It's like turning on your show and other shows is like all you get is Fox talking points. My vote doesn't count for anything in the state of Louisiana. Nothing. But
okay,
go ahead.
Just wrap up, Patrick, because we got a break in a second.
What I'm saying is, when you break it down to it, for anyone to look at their pocketbook over that monster, that's insane, and you have no moral compass at all.
All right, Patrick, I'll pause you here, and I'm going to just try and address some of the points away in reverse. First of all, you said your vote doesn't count in Louisiana. Don't let anybody tell you that, Patrick. Everybody knows that our electoral votes are going to go to Donald Trump. It's probably going to be going to the Republican candidate for the rest of our natural-born lives. And that's fine. There are more Republicans in this state than Democrats or independents or non-party voters, but that doesn't mean that your vote doesn't count. And I'll put it to you this way. If you look at the spread of Republican versus Democrat or independent or non-party voters in a state like Idaho, Idaho is going to go for Trump like 70-30. Louisiana is going to go for Trump maybe like 55-45, somewhere in that range. I'd say we're going to get maybe between 55 and 60% going for Trump in this next election. That's not nothing. You know, you're closer in Louisiana to making a difference with your vote than somebody is in Idaho or South Dakota. So just food for thought. And secondarily, just a thought about prices. You're so right, Patrick. You know, policies matter, and tax policy matters, and spending matters, and who's in charge of Congress and all that stuff really matters. But we cannot stop remembering COVID happened to us. That terrible, disruptive, destructive, deadly thing happened to us at a country, as a country. If you're sitting in your kitchen table going over your bills in 1942 and wondering, God, why is motor oil so expensive? I wasn't paying this much for motor oil in 1938. There's a war. You know, like things happen to us and our society and our world that make things more expensive. I don't think people in 1942 who are looking at their bills and thinking, I'm going to blame the president for making my motor oil more expensive. No, dummy, motor oil got more expensive because there's a war on. And wars make things more expensive, in particular stuff like motor oil that they need for the war effort. So let's just remember, COVID happened, the supply chains fell apart, they cut these stimulus checks, prices went up, demand for some things went down, demand for some things went way up, and we're still coming out of that now. It's just barely been 2 or maybe 2.5 years, if you're being generous, since we started to really unshackle ourselves from that pandemic. It'll be another decade, maybe half of a generation, before we are free from it completely, if we're lucky. To your first point about how can followers of Christ vote for Donald Trump, that's between them and their maker. We'll step away here and get a look at traffic, and we will come back with Devin Snow, a.k.a. the Red Beans and Rice Guy. Here's another perfect song that was suggested to me, and we're going to listen to a little bit of Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, on the way. All right.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
I kind of backloaded the show with some perfect songs from the 90s. So if you're like, oh, I'm tired of hearing Beatles and Harry Chapin, it's okay. We're going to have some more contemporary perfect songs this hour. That's Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. I'm so excited. Joining us on the line right now is Devin Snow, the Red Beans and Rice guy, the creator of Hold the Mayo, LLC. Devin, welcome back to the show, brother.
Ian, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Oh, I can't complain. Just, you know, getting my stress levels ready for the Saints, LSU, and Tulane, and trying not to go back to smoking cigarettes. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, put those down. We're not doing that anymore. Well, good. Speaking of Saints, I saw the video you posted yesterday. You ordered a Spencer Rattler jersey. It seems like your mind's made up for QB2.
Yeah, couldn't wait another breath. I mean, you know, some things you just feel it. You got to make it happen, and I had to make that happen, man. The dude's got aura.
He's got absolutely got that je ne sais quoi. Okay, great. So for people who don't know who you are, who maybe didn't hear you on the air last time and don't spend a lot of time on the social medias, tell us about Red Beans and Rice Day, what you do exactly, how it got started, how it's going.
Okay, so that segment in specific, you know, we had 224 Mondays in a row that I've went to a different establishment, you know, whether it was in New Orleans, which, godly, a lot of them have been in New Orleans, or the surrounding areas, West Bank, whatever. And then as far out as Mississippi and, Gulf Shores, all that. So that's been going on for over 4 years. It's crazy to even say that, but every single Monday for over 4 years.
That is really impressive, man. To be able to do something like that many weeks in a row really speaks to your work ethic and your creativity. You know, people are always saying to me, I want to start a podcast, or, you know, you should interview me because I got a podcast. And I'm like, well, how many episodes you done? And they're like, I'm on my fourth episode. And I'm like, brothers and sisters, you got to put down a little more wax than that before you really can say that that's a thing that you're doing. So anyway, just
and
how many?
Yeah, I mean,
4 years
honest,
is amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah. To be honest, real quick about it, you know, I remember telling myself in the first few, that if I did this 100 times, something had to work out, right? Because if I did it 100 times in a row, like, that in itself would be impressive. But, you know, as it went on, it's just like, my creativity just really took over. And I really started enjoying, like, making it what it is today. Because what it was when I started is nothing like what it is today. You could just tell that I've had time to kind of, you know, mess around with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, okay, 4 years later, Red Beans and Rice Day is somewhat of a phenomenon. You do big numbers on, you know, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all these platforms. You're on Twitter. And now it's sort of a Red Beans and Rice Day phenomenon. You go to an establishment, they see the Devin Snow bump. That must feel pretty good. Like, hey, I'm helping people out here, huh?
Yeah, that feels really good. And then also what's cool is, like, Mondays are miserable, right? They're supposed to be like, oh, you know, Monday, I guess I'll have a bowl of red beans, you know, like that type vibe. And it just gives people something to look forward to down here. And then all over the Gulf Coast, like, I don't want to leave them out because, wow, you know what I'm saying? Mississippi, Texas, Alabama, I've sent shirts to every state in the country other than the Dakota. You know, I don't know what they're doing up there, but they're not eating red beans. Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, it just makes Mondays better. And, you know, everything kind of falls in line with it, too, because, like, if the Saints win, Saints lose. Guess what? Next day is Monday. Well, Red Beans ain't going to lose, you know?
The Red Beans will never let you down. Wow.
Undefeated.
Yeah, that's so funny. All right, so 4 years on, your brand is really expanding kind of beyond the Red Beans and Rice universe. You're selling merchandise. You're doing sports coverage. Tell us about some of that stuff.
So I've always done... So I started Hold the Mayo in 2019. I was actually still working at Lamar Ford. I was a used car manager at the time. But, you know, when I started it doing this same call-in show. This is before all being all day everything. I was doing this same call-in show that I'm doing still today, where I take calls from Saints fans, et cetera, et cetera. And that took a long time to, you know, get any type of traction.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's a crowded
field. Yeah, it's not a, exactly. It's not a hit show, I would say. I'd say it's just like kind of those things, like if you know about it, you know about it, and it gives, you know, unfiltered, authentic Saints fans an opportunity to get on the phone line, you know, because everything's changed with social media. But anyway, yeah, still doing that. The merchandise is amazing. Shout out to the designer, Burton. He's just drawing nothing but great things. But yeah, no, the merchandise does great. The one thing I told myself is I always wanted to have some type of other craft. It can't just be, okay, this dude eats red beans every Monday. Even though, hey, that's super impressive to do for over 4 years, but it's got, you got to have another craft. Always got to have another craft.
Yeah. So you got a couple catchphrases out there, like respect your body. What does respect your body mean for people who aren't familiar?
I don't know what it means for anybody else. For me, yeah, for me, I just like saying it because I'm at the stage in my life where I'm 32, and you, right around 30, I think you start thinking about your health. So even if I eat a banana, if I eat banana pudding, even though it's sweet and probably not that good for you, respect your body. Just because it's got some type of element to it that, you know, we could write it off as healthy.
Banana pudding, famously known as a health food, coast to coast. Absolutely. Okay.
Yes, now it is.
I love it. All right, what about playtality? What's that mean?
Playtality. So these are great. Playtality is when you finish a whole hot plate and there's nothing left in it but besides maybe a couple bones.
Playtality. You say it with a deep voice like that, I'm sure. Like Shao
Hey, playtality usually becomes a hit around Halloween. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Playtality.
Yeah.
Okay, so you emphasize highlighting these small businesses, right? You're not always going to these big established brick and mortar restaurants that have been around for 70 years and they got customers out the line every day. You go to a lot of little hole in the wall places that are, you know, easy to drive by 20 times without knowing that there's a food place there, you know, places in strip malls, or maybe they're attached to another business or like a gas station or something. Why is it so important to you to do that? How do you see your role in helping places like that share the spotlight a little bit?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Ian. I wake up on Monday morning, I get on Off the Bench ESPN Radio, and then I start looking at spots. Even still to this day, I still do the same thing. I start looking at spots, whatever catches my eye. The place I went to on Monday this past week, it had one Google review, you know, and I was like, man, that looks interesting. It's under a law office on South Broad, you know, and I know this area. I know other things have been there, and I was like, man, I wonder what's going on here. So it's more of like an interest thing. Like, okay, I've been granted this opportunity to play around on Mondays, essentially. And, okay, what am I interested in? Does this place look interesting? What are the people like around it? You know, all these different things. And then usually, you know, if it's got some interesting elements to it, I'll go. It'll be very interesting. And, yes, it's going to help out the place naturally. You know, I'm not necessarily going there saying, hey, I'm about to save these people's business.
Right.
You know, it's not like that. It's more so like, okay, if this is interesting, we got to call it what it is. It's an interesting place. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do want people to know that, because how many times have we seen notable famous people come to New Orleans and ask, hey, where should I go eat? Where should I go eat? And guess what? 100,000 times in a row, they've said the same, people have said the same recommendations.
Yeah.
Parkway and no disrespect, I love Parkway, love it to death.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, there's 100 other places that we could talk about, but yet we keep telling famous people and stuff to go to Parkway and Cafe du Monde. Well, that's where they go.
So, like I said, Devin, you're doing some numbers now, man. It's like you've really kind of. Do you consider yourself an influencer? Is that a title that you care for or not?
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm sure some people would call you that. I know you're not out here saying, yeah, I'm Devin Snow, food influencer, you know, but it is.
Yeah,
what it
I'm
is.
Not going to be mad at nobody if they call me that at all.
Yeah, just the reason I mention it is because you're sort of now playing in a sandbox with some other, like, sort of heavy hitters where, you know, there's real money attached to this. You know, you're picking up some sponsorships. I got to imagine There's people reaching out to you for partnership opportunities. Every, you know, mom and pop restaurant in the, you know, 12 parish region wants you to come out and try their red beans. Do you must have, is there a team of people that are helping you kind of manage these opportunities?
Oh, absolutely not. I can answer this right away.
You're just doing it all yourself.
Yeah. And then also, you know, as far as like the businesses, I mean, the restaurants and stuff, nobody knows I'm coming. The first guy that ever had to find out that I was actually coming was the guy 2 weeks ago. I had to go to this little French restaurant, and he had a sign on the door that said private party, and it was there 24/7. So I was like, damn, this private party, you know, this must be an eternal private party. So I had to call him and let him know that, hey, I got to get in there, you know. But other than that, nobody knows, and I think that is like the most beautiful thing about it. Because if I was telling people, then they're going to be ready.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Instead, they would be, I'm just
we got to get
up.
Everything ready. Yeah. Do you get invited to other sort of secret parties with other, you know, people who are big on TikTok and Instagram and stuff? Are you like making new friends in that world?
Yeah, I am making, and I got to give a lot of that credit to Twitter, because I just feel like it's the best networking app in the world. I've met so many awesome people I never would have imagined meeting, you know, just through this. No private parties. I'm going to be honest. I like to stay in the house, watch sports, you know, bet on sports, whatever, but, yeah. Not a lot of private parties, you know, but I definitely am connected in the food world of this,
sure.
of the city.
Man, I believe it. All right, we're kind of drawn to a close here, Devin. I did want to, I know there's people listening who are probably sitting on what they think is a great idea. They don't know how to get started. You know, they probably got full-time jobs. Maybe they got families. They're not super well resourced. They don't know anything about social media or video production, but they got an idea. So as somebody who's kind of built a brand around a really niche topic, you know, and it's the simplicity of it is what I love. It's just every week I'm going to go eat red beans and rice somewhere. You know, you can have a billion-dollar idea that doesn't really have to be much more complicated than that. I'm wondering what advice you have to anybody listening now who has a sort of passion project that they're kind of parked on, but they don't know how to get started, much less monetize it. What would you say to them?
Okay, so, and it wasn't that long ago, so I always remember how I started and what it felt like and all that stuff. So, I mean, you have to, anything you decide to do, you have to consistently do it, right? And then when you consistently do it, you have to be okay with nobody watching for like a year or two or three or four or more. And if you love it, you'll find out that you love this idea so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you just got to keep doing it. Somebody told me, you know, when you're on a show or whatever, if there's only 7 people watching, well, treat it like it's 700, 7,000.
Absolutely.
You know, work on your craft. Your craft is the most important thing that you have. If you have a craft and you believe you have a craft, you'll constantly work on it. And, you know, everything will work itself out. There's a lot of stuff that I would have never imagined happening. I still got a super long way to go. But, you know, I woke up in February and they had built a float of me.
A Mardi Gras float. That was insane. And you didn't even know that they were doing that.
Didn't even know. So
that's
like,
bonkers.
It was crazy. But that's my advice. You know, just keep doing it. It's okay if nobody's watching. Let that motivate you. Just keep showing up, showing face.
That is great advice. Show up, show face, work hard. Devin Snow is the creator of Hold the Mail LLC. He does a new RB&R day every Monday. How can people follow your work, Devin?
You can look me up on any platform, whether it's YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You can just look up Hold the Mayo, just how it sounds.
Hold the Mayo. I love it. We'll be watching you, Devin, and we'll have you on the show again sometime soon, brother. Take good care out there. Here.
All right, Ian, take care of yourself. Tell Scoot I said what's up.
I'll do that. Thanks. Devin Snow is the creator of Hold the Mayo LLC. We'll go to break with another perfect, flawless, unimprovable song from the 1990s, Waterfalls by TLC. I'll be back right after this. Remember this one? Oh, man.
You know what, Ian?
What?
These are all perfect songs. And here's a little curiosity. I'm looking at the list.
Yeah?
not a lot of New Orleans or Memphis representation. You would think Memphis, you know, the music and the New Orleans music, you think the perfect song, one of the perfect songs would at least come from either Memphis or New Orleans. But seems like when it comes to perfect music, we're out of the...
Coleman, everybody knows that the Beatles are from Memphis. Everybody knows that Prince is from New Orleans. I don't know what you're talking about.
Touche.
Thank you. No, you're right. I mean, you know, these are perfect songs. Are they the most geographically, generationally diverse bunch of songs? No, but, you know, we did our best. I want to thank Devin again for coming on. Somebody texted in and said, I think some of the best red beans are just the blue ones or the red beans out of the can. Maybe throw some meat in there, some hot sauce on it. I actually like the chipotle sauce. I'm not afraid to be a Red Runner, Camellia beans, you know, whatever the can is. I'll put them in there. I don't particularly care. But I just make my red beans. I just open them up, open the can, throw them in a big saucepan with some water, put some bay leaves in there, maybe some crystal sauce. A little Tony Sacheri's. What's that other like fancy salt? The flavored Landry's salt.
You mean Seasonal?
Yeah, no, not Seasonal, but it's another one like that. It's another just like sort of flavored salt product.
No, the ones I'm familiar with is Seasonal and Tony Sacheri's.
Landry's. It's some Louisiana.
Somebody
someone will tell what's that salt is. Nedry's. Damn, now I'm not gonna remember it. I got time for just another quick couple calls here, guys. We got to go fast. Let's start with Tom in the Marigny. Tom, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ian, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am doing good. You know, you talk about red beans and rice. The best red beans and rice I ever had was when I was working at the sheriff's office before Katrina.
Uh-huh.
And OPP, when they would send out those red beans and rice with a big gold piece of turkey sausage in there.
Oh,
delicious.
Oh, yeah, I'll mess with some turkey sausage, man.
I mean, the bologna sandwiches were from Chisaces. I think, you know, they had the Chisaces, you know, mayonnaise, mustard sauce on the sandwiches.
Wait, the bologna sausages are from, that's Chisaces ham?
Well, no,
it was bologna. Yeah. Well, I bet it's, hey, man, I got my bologna sandwich in 2006. I didn't know I was eating some fancy, like, local Louisiana product. I thought it was just.
Yeah, this was before Katrina. Yeah.
Wow.
Right before Katrina.
Well, let me tell you, the post-Katrina sandwiches at OPP left a lot to be desired, but there we are.
I would imagine so.
I got so little time here, Tom, but it says on the screen you wanted to talk about taxes real briefly. Is that still a thing?
Well, just about car taxes. You know, you buy a new car,
uh-huh.
Pay taxes. And then you take that car and you either trade it in or you sell it or something, and then they pay taxes on it. And then somebody else takes that car, and then they pay taxes on it. And, you know, before you know it, you got 5, 6, 7 people paying taxes on the same car.
Hey, yeah.
Over the years. And before you know it, you know, the taxes on it is probably worth more than the car is at that point. You know, I mean, it's a lot of money that people just drop down that they could put in their pocket. This is something like everyday people, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody that's just trying to get ahead and trying to buy a used car. But you gotta pay taxes on a car that you've already paid taxes.
Yeah, why are we paying
taxes on?
Only one person should have to pay the taxes on that car. We're getting ripped off. I never thought about that. Thank you, Tom. But I'll write a letter.
Okay,
man. Thanks so much for hanging on, Tom. Nice speaking with you. And we'll finish up the show with James on the North Shore. We got to go quick, brother James. What's on your mind?
Hey, great show. Love it. You got to ask Lil Norman about the red beans and rice at JPCC and the sausage they use. It is awesome. I love what Devin had to say about continuing your brand and all that. I've been doing Creeperwear for 27 years now. Underground.
Yes.
Best
yes.
in New Orleans Underground.
That's badass,
Creeperwear,
dude.
No Law Code is another one I got. And then I got an AI song I worked on last night. It's it was generated with industrial metal, second line beat. It's a if you're coming to the city to put on the show, don't judge this throw. Just let the beat go.
Hey, nice. I love
it. In the streets.
Yeah.
It goes on. I ain't got time. Great stuff, man. I love the show today. And when it comes to Kamala Harris, they had it on the Daily yesterday. Well, she wants to go after this competition, like in the meat industry. She wants to break that up. She wants to break up some of the grocery stores and make more competition in there so people have more of a chance to get better prices at the grocery store. where they said she would be more like a tiz on the ladder. They said Trump would be more like a hammer and a bullhorn, who would be out there kind of bullying his way through the big business and all that. But a lot of big business is with Trump. If he wins, they are going to lower prices because they want him to win because they want the tax break.
That's all about the tax breaks. Brother James, we got to pause there. Thanks so much. And hey, not for nothing, I wore my Creeperwear t-shirt yesterday. Thanks so much for that. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. Everybody today that's on the Okunor Jewelers Talking text line helping me out, it is Lowry's Salt, not Landry's Salt, not Nedry's Salt, but Lowry's Salt. You got to give it a shot, brother. You can come over to my house. I'll make you some red beans and rice. I would love to have a conversation someday about which jail has the best food, because now we've got people saying that JPCC has like this amazing red beans, and we got Shisasi's bologna over at OPP before Katrina. Anyway, God knows what's in there now. All right, we got two more perfect songs to go, and you knew you were going to hear this one today. If we're talking about perfect, unimpeachable, unimprovable songs without a wasted moment, you know this one's going to be on the podium. Take a listen. We'll be right back on WWL. I hate not being able to play this entire song, so we just have to pick one part. Turn it up. It rocks. I had so much fun putting this music together for you today. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. I want to thank everybody for their great suggestions. I even got so many more great suggestions today. I'm going to keep this list. I'm going to keep it in my office, and maybe sometime in the future we'll do another perfect music day with all new music, because I got so many great suggestions. I couldn't possibly get them all in. I want to thank Coleman, Scoot, Dan Barron, and Diane Newman for the opportunity. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. It's such an honor and a privilege and a good time to be on the air, in your cars, in your offices, in your garages. It means so much to me, all your kind words and support. I'll be back on the other side of the glass in the jar tomorrow. I can't wait to have Scoot back here. He's been at Pensacola with the grandkids, and you know he's going to have something to say about that. Enjoy Sports Talk, followed by the Saints Hour tonight. Scoot will be back tomorrow, and I'll be back also tomorrow. Love you. Bye. Remember this one? Oh, man.
You know what, Ian?
What?
These are all perfect songs. And here's a little curiosity. I'm looking at the list.
Yeah?
Not a lot of New Orleans or Memphis representation. You would think Memphis, you know, the music and the New Orleans music, you think the perfect song, one of the perfect songs would at least come from either Memphis or New Orleans. But seems like when it comes to perfect music, we're out of the...
Coleman, everybody knows that the Beatles are from Memphis. Everybody knows that Prince is from New Orleans. I don't know what you're talking about.
Touche.
Thank you. No, you're right. I mean, you know, these are perfect songs. Are they the most geographically, generationally diverse bunch of songs? No, but, you know, we did our best. I want to thank Devin again for coming on. Somebody texted in and said, I think some of the best red beans are just the blue ones or the red beans out of the can. Maybe throw some meat in there, some hot sauce on it. I actually like the chipotle sauce. I'm not afraid to be a Red Runner, Camellia beans, you know, whatever the can is. I'll put them in there. I don't particularly care. But I just make my red beans. I just open them up, open the can, throw them in the big saucepan with some water, put some bay leaves in there, maybe some crystal sauce, a little Tony Sacheri's. What's that other, like, fancy salt, the flavored Landry's salt?
You mean Seasonal?
Yeah. No, not Seasonal, but it's another one like that. It's another just, like, sort of flavored salt product.
Now, the ones I'm familiar with are Seasonal and Tony Sacheri's.
Landry's. It's some Louisiana. Someone will tell. What's that salt is? Nedry's? Damn, now I'm not going to remember it. I got time for just another quick couple calls here, guys. We got to go fast. Let's start with Tom in the Marigny. Tom, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ian, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am doing good. You know, you talk about red beans and rice. The best red beans and rice I ever had was when I was working at the sheriff's office before Katrina.
Uh-huh.
And OPP, when they would send out those red beans and rice, they with a big gold piece of turkey sausage in there. Delicious.
Oh, yeah. I'll mess with some turkey sausage, man.
I mean, the bologna sandwiches were from Shisasi's. I mean, you know, they had the Shisasi's, you know, mayonnaise, mustard sauce on the sandwiches.
Wait, the bologna sausages are from, that's Shisasi's ham?
Well, no, it was bologna.
Yeah. But I bet it's, I didn't, I just, hey, man, I got my bologna sandwich in 2006. I didn't know I was eating some fancy, like, local Louisiana product. I thought it was just...
Yeah, this was before Katrina. Yeah.
Wow.
Right before Katrina.
Well, let me tell you, the post-Katrina sandwiches at OPP left a lot to be desired, but there we are.
I would imagine so.
I got so little time here, Tom, but it says on the screen you wanted to talk about taxes real briefly. Is that still a thing?
Well, just about car taxes. You know, you buy a new car,
uh-huh.
Pay taxes. And then you take that car and you either trade it in or you sell it or something. And then they pay taxes on it. And then somebody else takes that car and then they pay taxes on it. And, you know, before you know it, you got 5, 6, 7 people paying taxes on the same car.
Hey, yeah.
Over the years. And before you know it, you know, the taxes on it is probably worth more than the car is at that point. You know, I mean, it's a lot of money that people just drop down that they could put in their pocket. This is something like everyday people, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody that's just trying to get ahead and trying to buy a used car. But you gotta pay taxes on a car that you've already paid taxes.
Yeah, why are we paying
taxes on?
Only one person should have to pay the taxes on that car. We're getting ripped off. I never thought about that. Thank you, Tom. I'll write a letter.
Okay,
man. Thanks so much for hanging on. Tom, nice speaking with you. And we'll finish up the show with James on the North Shore. We got to go quick, Brother James. What's on your mind?
Hey, great show. Love it. You got to ask Newell Norman about the red beans and rice at JPCC and the sausage they use. It is awesome. I love what Devin had to say about continuing your brand and all that. I've been doing creeper wear for 27 years now. Underground.
Yes.
Best in New Orleans underground.
That's badass,
creeper
dude.
Wear, No Law Code is another one I got. And then I got a AI song I worked on last night. It's it was generated with industrial metal second line beat. It's a if you're coming to the city to put on the show, don't judge this throw. Just let the beats go.
Hey, nice. I love
it. In the streets.
Yeah.
And it goes on. I ain't got time. Great stuff, man. I love the show today. And when it comes to Kamala Harris, they had it on the Daily yesterday. Well, she wants to go after this competition, like in the meat industry. She wants to break that up. She wants to break up some of the grocery stores and make more competition in there so people have more of a chance to get better prices at the grocery store. Where they said she would be more like a chisel and a ladder. They said Trump would be more like a hammer and a bullhorn who would be out there kind of brewing his way through the big business and all that. But a lot of big business is with Trump. If he wins, they are going to lower prices because they want him to win because they want the tax break.
That's all about the tax breaks. Brother James, we got to pause there. Thanks so much. And hey, not for nothing, I wore my creeperwear T-shirt yesterday. Thanks so much for that. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. Everybody today that's on the Okunard Jewelers Talking text line helping me out, it is Lowry's Salt, not Landry's Salt, not Nedry's Salt, but Lowry's Salt. You got to give it a shot, brother. You can come over to my house. I'll make you some red beans and rice. I would love to have a conversation someday about which jail has the best food, because now we've got people saying that JPCC has like this amazing red beans, and we got Shisasi's bologna over at OPP before Katrina. Anyway, God knows what's in there now. All right, we got two more perfect songs to go, and you knew you were going to hear this one today. If we're talking about perfect, unimpeachable, unimprovable songs without a wasted moment, you know this one's going to be on the podium. Take a listen. We'll be right back on WWL. I hate not being able to play this entire song, so we just have to pick one part. Turn it up. It rocks. I had so much fun putting this music together for you today. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. I want to thank everybody for their great suggestions. I even got so many more great suggestions today. I'm going to keep this list. I'm going to keep it in my office, and maybe sometime in the future, we'll do another perfect music day with all new music, because I got so many great suggestions. I couldn't possibly get them all in. I want to thank Coleman, Scoot, Dan Barron, and Diane Newman for the opportunity. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. It's such an honor and a privilege and a good time to be on the air, in your cars, in your offices, in your garages. It means so much to me, all your kind words and support. I'll be back on the other side of the glass in the jar tomorrow. I can't wait to have Scoot back here. He's been at Pensacola with the grandkids, and you know he's going to have something to say about that. Enjoy Sports Talk, followed by the Saints Hour tonight. Scoot will be back tomorrow, and I'll be back also tomorrow. Love you. Bye.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.